And we have a very special guest today, Bernie Goldberg. Bernie Goldberg, he's a world-renowned author, television news reporter, winner of 10 Emmys with CBS News as well as HBO's Real Sports series, author of multiple New York Times bestsellers, including A Slobbering Love Affair, which is a story of we'll let him tell us a little bit more about it, but how the news media is in love with Barack Obama. He's a regular on The O'Reilly Factor, and his website is BernardGoldberg.com. Mr. Goldberg, Bernie, thanks for being with us.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Let's dive in here. I saw you on Hannity not too long ago, and you kind of got on him and other conservatives for not giving the president credit for anything. And frankly, I'm as guilty as anybody of that, and I want to be fair. Tell me where we're going wrong.
Right. You didn't see me on Hannity recently, because after that, I haven't been on Hannity, and that was a long time ago, but I'd be glad to tell you the story.
Let me correct myself. I watched it on YouTube recently. I don't know when that aired. Go ahead.
That's all right. Look, let me start out by saying that I would be hard put to find a single policy that Barack Obama has put forth that I am in favor of. I think the stimulus was a big waste of money. The apology tour was disgraceful, and I can go on and on. But what I find is that too many on the right, and I don't want to say hard right or right wingers or anything like that, but too many on the right, especially some of the loudest voices in the media, have become as bad as liberals were when George Bush was president. Mm. If George Bush had found a cure for cancer, the crazies on the left wouldn't have given him any credit for it. And I get the feeling that if Barack Obama found a cure for cancer, a lot of guys on the radio and some on TV would be saying, well, how come he didn't find it 2 years ago? How come he didn't find it last week? I just find some of the criticism trivial, and it makes, I think it makes our side look as bad as their side was in during the Bush administration.
Tell me this. Why do you believe the media, the left-wing media, is in love with the president? Obviously, he's liberal. They're liberal as well. But the country seems to be in a very difficult place in a very volatile world. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, they don't care where the country is. They never did, and they don't now. I think journalists, well, it doesn't matter what I think, it's a fact that the biggest single group of journalists are liberals. You know, some of them say they're middle of the road or moderates, but that's a sure way of also knowing that they're liberals, because they don't want to acknowledge that they're liberals.
Right.
So in that kind of atmosphere where so many like-minded people are in the newsroom, they think everything to the right of center is conservative, which it is. But here's the problem, and this is what it all comes down to. They think everything to the left of center is moderate, reasonable, mainstream, and middle of the road, because that's their perspective. Conservatives, they can spot 10,000 miles away through brick walls. Liberals are simply reasonable. They're not liberal so much as they're reasonable and moderate. And that's why, if you ask them, and you could hook these guys up to lie detectors and say, do you have a liberal bias? They'd say no, and the needle wouldn't budge, because they don't get it. They simply don't get it.
Right. Do you think they ever will? Do you think they'll ever get a clue?
I think in almost all cases, ratings count more than anything else. So meaning money counts more than anything else.
Right.
But ideology trumps money for these people. There's no conspiracy on their part. They don't come in the morning and say, how are we going to screw those conservatives today? The problem is groupthink. There are too many like-minded people in the newsroom. So in answer to your question, no, I really don't think it's going to change anytime soon. And here's the bad news. I think more young kids coming out of journalism school are just going to add to the problem. Mm. There have been studies about the political alignment of journalism professors. And I think the last study I saw was like 8-1. 8-1 in journalism schools around the country. It's liberal Democrat over conservative Republican.
Unbelievable.
So these kids are coming out, and they're just going to be adding to the problem, I think.
Is the media responsible for the lack of personal responsibility in the U.S.? And I think you've written it's getting vulgar. Is it too late to turn the tide in our culture? And is the media responsible?
Well, responsible may not be. They've contributed to it. Let's put it that way. They hold certain people accountable for their actions, but they don't hold others accountable. Look, I'll give you an example, and it's a politically incorrect example that can't do me any good.
I love these.
The media doesn't hesitate to pull the race card. A lot of the problems in America, as they see it, are due to racism. I think a lot of the problems in America are due to dysfunctional behavior. So if you have in Black America, 71% of children being born are born, to use the old-fashioned phrase, out of wedlock, with no father really in their lives. That's a big problem. If you could snap your fingers and fix that, you would also fix a crime problem, a literacy problem, a drug problem. You'd fix all sorts of problems. But the media doesn't want to dwell on that because the implication is you're a racist if you say something like that. But I mean, I was part of the civil I wasn't part of the civil rights movement in the 50s. I was a kid then, but in college I certainly was on the right side of civil rights, and I think I'm on the right side of civil rights today in 2011. But if you ignore the fact that there's so much dysfunction in certain parts of our culture, and not hold people responsible for their behavior, well, you're going to get more behavior like that. So the media didn't create it, not by a long shot. But they don't. But as reporters, they should be doing stories about who are these people who aren't succeeding in our culture. Everybody has a shot at a free education. The dropout rate is 50% in some minority communities. But they don't feel comfortable with stories like that. They don't feel comfortable doing them because it's a lot easier to go with their fallback position, and that is that America's a racist country, which it is not. Are there racists in a country of 310 million people? Of course there are, but it's not a racist country.
We're talking today to Bernie Goldberg, author of A Slobbering Love Affair and also purveyor of BernardGoldberg.com. Question for you. It's clear to me, at least, that people like Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, female conservatives, and to a degree Hillary Clinton, obviously she's not a conservative, but certainly she's a woman. They are, to me, it's clear they're treated unfairly. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, I think, yeah, I would agree with that. But let me talk about one in particular, Sarah Palin. There are some people listening to us who are Sarah Palin fans, others who are not. I don't want to go down that road. I think there are reasonable people on both sides of that question. But Sarah Palin was eviscerated by the press.
She was.
When she was running on the ticket as vice president. It went far beyond anything she had done to deserve that. And I write about this in my book. I devote a chapter to this Palin craziness. It's like, you know, Sarah, It is a craziness, I think, on the part of liberals in and out of the media. So I started wondering, well, why is that? Well, one reason. I mean, just there are many. They don't like the fact that she's a conservative, of course. But one reason is that unlike people they admire, she bounced around to five different schools and wound up, you know, forgive my language, at the University of Idaho. Oh. That's practically a crime against humanity here,
right,
as far as these elite people in the media are concerned. She has five kids, and what are their names? Trig and Willow and this and that. Well, sophisticated people don't call their children Trig and Willow and the other names.
Bristol and Track, yeah.
Yeah, they don't do that. And you know what? If she had an accent, but it was a Boston accent, they wouldn't hate her as much. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds shallow. But I'll bet you if she had I sounded like Sarah Palin when I said betcha right there.
A little bit. You did a little bit.
I will bet you that if she had a Boston accent, which they equate with sophistication, as opposed to whatever that accent she has is, Alaskan, or I know she's from the Midwest originally, I think, they wouldn't hate her as much. I mean, these are... I started out, guys, I started out with one gripe against the media. One. It was their bias. But that's not my biggest gripe now. My biggest gripe is their elitism.
Right.
That they look down their elitist noses at people who aren't like they are. They think that people who eat at Red Lobster are committing a crime against humanity. They think people who bowl are hayseeds. They think people who fly the flag on the 4th of July are jerks. And that's what I dislike most about the
just
elite.
Hit a nerve right there, man.
Yeah, the elite people in the media.
You know, speaking of elites in the media, and them taking things that the politicians say, Paul Ryan came out with this budget within the last day or so, and immediately Nancy Pelosi comes out knowing that this doesn't affect anybody over the age of 55, and says millions of seniors will miss meals.
Yeah, you're onto something here. You're really onto something.
And then, you know, you look at that, you hear that conference call with Schumer and said that my caucus told me to say this and to say that.
Yeah, to say it was extreme.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, is this something that's been going on for a long time? Is this relatively recent? And
well, here's what I've been thinking about, that very question the past few days. Here is a mainstream... forgive me, a so-called mainstream media. And by the way, I know this is going to sound petty on my part, but Sarah Palin did not popularize the term lamestream media. I'm the first person to use it on a national TV show, on Bill O'Reilly's show.
Right.
And she just lifted it from me. So
I saw those I saw those T-shirts on your website, the lamestream media with that eye. I like that.
That's right. So here's the thing. The so-called mainstream media never sounded the alarms, at least by and large. They never sounded the alarms over the years as we went further and further into debt. So now we're $14 trillion plus in debt. And what are they concerned about? They're concerned about Paul Ryan's budget. They're concerned about the current debate about the 2011 budget that the Republicans want to cut a few billion dollars more. They're not concerned about $14 trillion that we're in debt and all the implications of that. But if the Republicans want to go from $33 billion to $40 billion or whatever it is, oh, that's a terrible thing. And it's a terrible thing in a very specific way, and you nailed it. It's a specific thing because now the poor are going, the elderly are going to starve, right? That's number one, which is a lie.
Right.
And then Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC yesterday said, and a lot of the, oh, by the way, they refer to this Obama spending as investments, the same word that he uses. What a coincidence. And they refer to the Republican, what they want to cut, as slashes. They want to slash. You see, investment, slash, right?
Yeah.
So they're concerned about that the Republicans are going to cut, according to Andrea Mitchell, they're going to cut programs that affect the poor and minorities, okay? So it isn't just that the Republicans, you know, are heartless bastards when it comes to poor people, but they're also racists, you know? And
doesn't that drive you crazy that we're always labeled like that?
It used to drive me crazy, but getting back to another question of yours about, you know, is there any hope in it? No, I have resigned myself to the fact that they will never get it, even as they lose viewers. I know they're losing viewers in part because of technology. Cable exists now, and it didn't exist 20, 30 years ago. The internet is a source of news which didn't exist 20, 30 years ago, or 30 years ago anyway. I understand that technology plays a role in this. Newspapers are going under, but people are reading newspapers online. I get all that. But they're also losing viewers because of their bias. And by the way, it's moved from bias to out-and-out corruption. And that's why I think as bad as it's going to get for them, and there will be more newspapers that go under, and they will continue to lose ratings, I don't see them getting it anytime soon, if ever.
That might be the quote of the day. It's gone from bias to corruption. I could not agree with you more on that.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you cross a line.
And, yeah, I agree. I think they've done that. Let me change gears here. One question. My favorite work, I think, that you've done is the documentary on the 1980 Olympic team. The documentary.
Yeah, I wrote that. I just wrote that. I didn't produce it.
I see. Well, you know what?
Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah. Do you believe in miracles? Unbelievable. I'm an owner of that. Owned it for a long time. You know, love the movie Miracle itself. Thought that was great. And was that a lot of fun to write and be involved with?
Yeah. Let me tell you something that I'll bet you. I'm guessing you're going to agree with this, and I'll bet you that the people who are listening to us who saw the documentary are going to boo. Everybody knows before the first second of the documentary starts to roll, everybody knows how the story ends.
Right.
We all know that the United States won the gold medal. It's not like, and get this, the United States won the gold. We all know that, right?
Right.
I know of grown men who cried watching that doctor.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, you're talking to one of them.
And you're talking to another one of them. I mean, we know the story. We know how it ends. And, you know, it just touched us in a certain way because that documentary was set in the context of what happened before the hockey game. Long lines at the gas station because of the OPEC business. Interest rates that were higher than what the mafia charges to the guys on the street.
Right.
Unemployment, the whole malaise business associated with Jimmy Carter. And here comes a bunch of kids, amateurs, unlike the Russians, amateurs, and beats the best hockey team on the planet Earth, right?
I'm getting the chills out the back of my neck right now as you describe it.
Right, even though we know how it ends. Now, that says something. That may be old-fashioned, corny emotion, but you know what? I think we could all use a lot more of it. We were proud of America because of what that hockey team did in the middle of the Cold War to the Russians.
Are we?
You know, I hope my liberal friends out there were as proud as we were. I'm not so sure, but I hope they were.
Are we capable of, as a country, of being inspired like that again in this day and time?
You know, it seems harder and harder, doesn't it?
It does.
It just seems harder and harder. Even after 9/11, when we all seemed to be on the same team, it didn't take long before it was like, well, we're all coming down on Muslims in this country.
Right.
There was something very recently about that. I'm drawing a blank, but somebody just came. Oh, I know. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, said that anti-hate, against Muslims is the civil rights issue of the day. Well, you know what? There wasn't any great outpouring of hate aimed at Muslims in this country. There just wasn't. That speaks very well of 99.9% of the American people.
Without a doubt.
But somehow we need to have this feeling. You know what it is? I think one of the fundamental tenets of liberalism is rooting for the underdog. And they pick their underdogs. You know, they pick their underdogs. And they see Muslims because of the color of their skin and because Muslims in the Middle East, are poor. I'm sure they're not poor in Michigan, but they're poor in the Middle East, some of them, many of them. They see them as underdogs, and therefore, if you look at somebody funny or you don't want a mosque built at ground zero, you're a bigot. And I think people resent that. But I hope something comes along someday. Let me answer it this way. If we played the Russians today, would there be the same reaction? No. No. One of the reasons is the Cold War is over, so
right.
That's understandable. Another reason is I don't think we're the same people we were in 1980.
No, I don't think we are either, sadly.
Yeah, I was going to say, and in many ways, not in a good way.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
All right, we're wrapping it up here, but we're talking today to Bernie Goldberg. His website is bernardgoldberg.com. The book, most recent book, A Slobbering Love Affair, a story how the liberal biased media is in love with Barack Obama. You can go to the website. You can check out the book. Bernie, thanks so much for being with us. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Okay, it was a pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg.
All right, we're coming up on